A few months ago, I found myself in an uncharted territory. I was up in Northwest Arkansas to see my mother, and on that trip, I told her, I'm going to get you a watermelon of your dreams. I said, I'm going to go find a fruit stand, and I'm going to get you a watermelon, and you're going to love it. So I put in my phone, my GPS, and I don't really do good with directions. My wife can do great without any direction, but I had to have directions, and so I put it in my phone, and so it started taking me on this uncharted territory I'd never been on. Turn right on this road, turn left on this road, turn right. And so I noticed I was driving into a neighborhood. I thought, man, they must grow watermelons in their backyard. I mean, this is like, how in the world is this supposed to be, the watermelon stand? And so I finally arrived at the destination that my GPS took me to, and there was nothing. There was not a watermelon. There was barely a yard mowed. It was nothing that actually stood out as being what I looked for. And I can remember thinking, now, how in the world could my phone get so confused, my GPS system get so messed up that it would take me to a fruit stand that doesn't exist, has never been there? And as I left that location, I knew that I had to get back to where my mother was living at my sister's house. And so I went to Walmart and bought a watermelon. So I walk in with this big watermelon, you know, and I said, Mom, look what I found. And she, oh, I bet it'll be the best melon. I said, I think it will be too. Where'd you find it? Oh, at the market, you know, and because they call, Walmart calls in the market, okay? So you, I didn't stretch that. And so she was eating it. I said, that's one of the best melons I've ever had. I said, that's great, Mom, you know. I went to a lot of effort. The first market wasn't open, but the second market was there, and She ate the whole thing before. I said, well, I really got it at Walmart. And she said, well, still good. But as I tell that story, because here's what happens in life sometimes. We think we're going right where we're supposed to go, right in a certain direction, right in a certain place. And then we wake up and go, you know what? We're not where we thought we were going. And as a result, we have to contend with that and try to figure out how to get to the right place. So set yourself in motion thinking about wise men, magi, who they've been studying about God, trying to figure out if there is a God, what God does, how he works, what he says, what it means to have a Messiah, what it means to have an answer, what it means to empty the to fill up the empty place in their heart. And you can imagine for a moment, think about it for a second. These men from the East, they don't know exactly what it is they're going for, but they know something. They need something they don't have now. And so in the GPS of their heart, they see a star, and they start following that star, realizing that that star is going to take them to what they long for the most, which is what leads us to today's message, because in Matthew chapter 2, in 12 distinct verses, we find the story of some men who come from the East. We don't know exactly where they've come from. We just know they've traveled far enough that their journey leads them ultimately to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem. And so think about for a moment in your own life and where you are in their hearts, can you fathom what they felt going on inside of them? Their hearts are bubbling over with joy. Their hearts, they finally realize something that they have looked for is finally there. It's like the person who anticipates the first birth of a child, or the person, a grandparent, gets their first grandchild, and there's all this anticipation. Well, you can imagine for a moment that here are men, watch this, who could not find what would fill them up in their world. They had to find something that would answer the need of their life. And listen carefully, it is the same thing that happens even in this day. Because the truth is, people look for things to fill themselves up, but nothing fills us up like Jesus does, because when Jesus comes inside of us, he changes everything about us. He meets us where we are and takes us places we never dreamed we could go. And what you discover is that each one of us has to look inside of our heart. And so as we come to this Christmas time, I begin with a simple question. What is it that you feel in your heart about Christmas? Because the truth is, if you have the right perspective and the right feeling, then something begins to happen inside of what it is you pursue. Because Christmas is about following a star that can shine in each one of our hearts and change our lives forever. And so today, as you think about your own journey of faith, think about what happens if all of a sudden, just like the Magi, I start anticipating my dream being fulfilled. I start anticipating God speaking to me. which is interesting, by the way. If you don't anticipate him speaking, what do you normally hear? Very little. But if you anticipate something and it begins to become a part of your story and you start hearing more and more of what it is he wants to say to you, that anticipation, what it sets in motion, your awareness that he's at work in your life and he wants to meet you where you are and fulfill the dreams that you have in your life. And so I want you to think about today in light of that, in light of this whole concept today. In Matthew chapter 2, there's something that transpires, and there is this anticipation. Now, by the way, there is a conflict that has to be fought, and that is Herod is not excited about Jesus being born, nor Jesus being the answer to the needs of the lives of those that would be changed by him. He was not looking for a star. Watch this. Herod wanted to be the star. And it shows you what happens when all of a sudden you elevate yourself instead of lowering yourself to experience him, which is exactly why Jesus brought the table into the story of our lives. Because when you and I start humbling ourselves and we start looking at ourselves inside of what this table really represents, what happens to it? All of a sudden, we start getting the real message of Christmas. We start getting what it is that God has for us because we start anticipating something. And watch this carefully. When we start anticipating something, our anticipation of what it is God has for us will lead to the affirmation of the greatest dreams God has for us. When we start anticipating that so profoundly, and I'm going to tell you, when I think back about early years of our lives and different things that we anticipated, I can remember a season in which there was sorrow because of what we anticipated happening and not happened yet. And then we came to Christmas of 1982. And it was in Christmas of 1982 that our firstborn child was to be born, and her due date was Christmas Day. And I can remember thinking, man, and of course, we never had a child, so I don't know anything about having children. I just thought, well, man, if that's your day, it happens that day. And so we obviously, she's born on the 27th, all right? But Christmas Day, the whole day, I'd say, you ready? You ready? All right, this is the day. Bring Ashley into our lives. Bring her into our world. But the truth is, it wasn't coming that day. Our dream arrived 2 days later. All right, so for the Magi, they follow by days and a season of time. They end up being very impressed by God to follow a star that's different than any other star. And what I want you to think about today in light of our experience in worship, we should see Jesus as different than any other part of our story. Because when we see Jesus, we become aware of who he is. We anticipate him speaking to our heart, and we start longing to abide in him, to encounter him the way he intended for us to encounter him. And so today, as you think about that in light of your own journey of faith, let's look, if we could, inside of Matthew chapter 10. I want you to, this is a story, by the way, that's very familiar to you, but I want you to keep this in mind. Our hearts are the key, or is the key to our encounter. Our hearts are the keys that open up what it is we're going to experience. And so today, as you think about that, I want you to think about two very distinctive verses, both of which I just want you to make note of because you'll read them on the screen, but I want you to think about them in light of our hearts. All right? The first one's in Proverbs chapter 4, and you find it in the 23rd verse. And listen to what the wisest guy who ever lived had to say. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. All right, think about it for a second. Watch over your heart with all diligence. In other words, pay attention to what matters the most. Pay attention to what has transforming impact. Pay attention to what it is he's trying to say to you. And watch this carefully. We can get so busy with the hustle and bustle of all that transpires that if we're not careful, we will not hear what we're supposed to hear. You ever had a conversation with someone and in the midst of the conversation you realize they weren't listening? They weren't hearing what you were saying, and you realize you were communicating on two different wavelengths. And as a result, when you got done, the other person said, what did I just say? And you're like, uh-oh, this is not a good day because I wasn't paying attention to the details of what was being shared. I want you to think about that in contrast of this amazing Magi who are listening with their hearts to the most important thing they will ever hear, and that is, you better follow that star. And I'm going to tell you, the most important thing I could ever say to you on this Sunday as we lead into the Christmas season is follow the star. Follow what it is that God has for you, because when you follow that star, your life begins to open up in the most amazing way. Then one other verse I want you to look at before we dig into Matthew chapter 2. And it's found where Jesus makes a statement in Matthew chapter 5. And he makes this very powerful statement in verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, get this in your mind for a second, all right? You're looking for a star. You keep your heart pure. You begin to look up and you begin to see that star, and that star becomes a part of your amazing story. Blessed are the pure in heart. I'm going to tell you, when someone has a pure heart, it does something for you. This church is full of people with pure hearts that I've encountered. The hearts that are fixed on God's best for their life, hearts that are fixed on experiencing what it is God intends for them, hearts that believe that the best is yet to come, hearts that center their hearts and purpose on accomplishing something that matters in life, hearts that look inside of their own perspective and say, you know what, I'm going to set aside anything that gets in the way of me experiencing God the way He intended. And for the Magi and for those who are looking to follow the star, let me just say what happens to you. Something begins to happen inside of you that money can't buy and people won't always understand. Because I'm going to tell you, when He becomes everything, He begins to set in motion your entire life story. And let me tell you what's amazing about this. If you let Him be in charge and you keep following that star, He will show you and show Himself strong on your behalf throughout your journey. So today we look at the unmistakable journey of the Magi. All right? And what I want you to see today is this. As we get ready to experience communion, because what is communion? Communion is about the heart, because when Jesus said, you do this, and you won't even do it again until I go into the kingdom. And what He was saying was, you know, you're going to have this experience. You got to get ready for it. You got to encounter it. You got to experience it in a way that opens you up. And listen carefully. If we open our hearts up to experience what God intends for it, what will happen is we'll start following something that matters. We'll start looking up to the One who orders out the steps of our journey, who speaks to us in profound and amazing ways. Because what happens is when we get in tune with the star that shines brighter than any other star, we get just like the Magi. We get to see God the way He intended. So let's look, if we could, Matthew chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. Then I want to show you three distinctive things that transpire that in order to set in motion our experience during this Christmas season. Because here's what I want you to think about. You got a star to follow. You just got to make sure you keep your eyes fixed on that star. Because as you see that star, God begins to use you and work through you and help you encounter Him in new and profound and amazing ways. All right? Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw His star in the east and have come to worship Him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. Now, I want you to stop here, and you don't know this by way of history, but just give you a little bit of history about Herod. Herod was as wicked as they come, because Herod's entire intent was to elevate himself and never let God ever be in any place. All right? So as a result of that, Herod even had his own wife killed. He had some of his own children killed. He had all these. He was constantly hungry that he would be elevated. And the truth of the matter is, when you do that, you lose sight of the star. Look on. Verse 8, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him.' And after hearing the king, they went their way. And the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming in the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." When you read this, you go, oh, wow, what an amazing story. Here are some guys who show up in Jerusalem. They appear to a guy who gives the appearance of being completely connected to following a star. But what did Herod really want to do? He wanted to kill the star. He wanted to shoot the star out of the sky. And what happens is God equips the Magi to not focus on what transpired by way of words from those who are not trustworthy, but instead to trust the one who had guided them all the way through that journey to be able to come in and encounter Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. Your life never goes beyond who you trust. If you trust Jesus, he opens your life up to the most amazing and powerful and profound ways. But if you trust just in people, what happens? Sometimes they disappoint you. Sometimes they set aside what it is that there's there to get to their own agenda. They set aside what it is that you need the most. And I'm going to tell you what you get in mind if you look at this. These men, they come to a place they've never known. They come from another area. And there's no doubt when they walk into Jerusalem, it probably everybody's going, man, what are those guys doing here? What's this appearance all about? And as a result of that, Herod puts in motion what, by the way, ultimately leads to the slaughter of innocent people, innocent children. And it shows you that his intent from the very beginning was wicked and evil. And watch this, out of the heart flow the issues of life. And so these wise men, these men who obviously have been seeking out something, which, by the way, it's interesting, they didn't bring gifts that were insignificant. They brought their most precious treasured gift to lay at the feet of the one who they knew would meet the need of their life. And listen carefully, when we lay our lives down before him, may it be the most precious parts of who we are. May our hearts be fixed on him. May our spirits be moved beyond words. May our commitment be so profound and strong that when people see us, they'll go, you know what? That person follows the star. That person fixes their eyes on something that matters. That person understands that God has something for them. That person realizes that Jesus is the answer to everything. Listen carefully. In this world that is deluded away from what is central and true to our hearts and lives, in this world that doesn't see oftentimes the impact of what Jesus can do, what you and I must do is we must live for Jesus in a way that is profound and meaningful and touching to each person who sees us, because they realize that person, they walk with God. That person lives for something greater. And so here's the story. Here are these guys, and I want you to see three very distinctive things before we come to this communion table that I hope will help you think about where you are in your own journey of faith, all right? The first thing you'll realize is there's something about how they live this life, because they came a long distance. And watch this. Distance did not deter them, because worship was their sole motive. In other words, it didn't matter how far they came. That distance was insignificant. And I want you to think about this for a second. In this very room are people who drive 40 miles, 50 miles to come into church to be a part of what we're about. Others who drive 5 miles, others drive 10 miles, 15 miles. And the truth of the matter is, for the Magi, the distance was not the issue. It was the opportunity to worship in a way they never had before. I mean, can you imagine the majesty of walking into that room? Can you imagine walking into that encounter when they all of a sudden realize this is what we have looked for all of our lives? We are grown men, but we look for a baby who would change the world. You see, distance just did not get in the way of what was going on inside of them, because they had a motive, and it was a sole motive to worship. Which, by the way, when you look at how they worship by acknowledging who they were in front of. They worship by giving the best they had. And I'm going to tell you, when we know who we're in front of and we give the best that we have of our lives, it speaks to the hearts of anyone who sees us, because they realize we live for something that money can never buy and that makes life precious and priceless. And so today, as you think about that, I want you to think about this question, because there are three questions that connect to each one of these principles. Have you ever allowed anything to deter your worship? Have you ever allowed something to get in the way of your encounter of experiencing God the way he intended, that deterred you away? Could it be your schedule at times deterred you? Could it be, for example, today that there's no air conditioning working in the room? Could that deter you a little bit if you are hot-natured? And the truth of the matter is that sometimes things break for a reason, to teach us how to be uncomfortable in certain aspects. And for those who are cold nature, they're rejoicing. Their prayers are probably answered. The air broke so that they aren't freezing while they're in church. But the truth is, watch this. We all have certain things that can get in the way of our encounter and our experience. We all do. So I want you to think about the most prevalent aspect that gets in the way of your worship. And what you'll discover is, if you're not careful, you'll always allow something to get in the way, and it'll deter you. For them, they only had one thing that could get in their way, and that is, it's a long journey from where they live to where they're going. And when I look in this room, and I look at people who drive from different parts of our city and stuff, I doubt they ever get in their car. I may be wrong about this, but I doubt they get in their car and say, oh man, I'm going to drive five more miles a day. That interstate part's not working today. Oh, I doubt that when I look at the people in this room who drive a long way, I doubt that they hit the snooze button on their clock five times. No, they get up because it's God's day. And listen carefully. We have diluted the power of Sunday in our culture down to a day that if you were to ask people like my son who works at a mall, at Lenox Mall, Sunday is like a day of celebration. It's a day of freedom instead of a day of consecration. And watch this carefully. What we celebrate today will desecrate what we believed yesterday. So if we start celebrating things that don't matter, no, no, we are desecrating the very thing that God has for it. I'm not one of those who says everything ought to close on Sunday. I'm not saying that. I realize people need certain things, need certain aspects of things available to them. But what I'm saying is, what you and I need to keep in mind is this. We can all look for things that deter us. How many of us here today would have a heartache, we bear a heartache on something, and we come to church with that heartache hanging over us. And if we're not careful, our heartache will get in the way of His perfect moment to lead us to worship Him. And listen carefully. Our hearts may break on this side, but on that side our hearts will rejoice because we have followed the star who met us at the point of every need that we have. So, principle number one, distance did not deter them. And here's what I want you to realize. Everybody can come up with an excuse, but if you have an excuse, you'll miss the experience. And so I had this very thing. I was watching this. Last night I had a chance to be with Cindy and Abby, a little musical thing. It's beautiful. And I watched the people who were coming in late. You know, we live in a day where you can turn your phone on so you can see the light to get to where you're supposed to go. But I was watching all the people coming in late, and I was thinking, and, you know, it could have been traffic, could have been a lot of things. They may have been caught in the traffic downtown trying to get through the SEC championship game and through the Elton John concert, all this. Who knows? But I was thinking something deterred them, and they missed some parts of that. And listen, what I want to say to you is this. Do not let anything deter you from worshiping the one who loves you more than anyone else on earth, and that is Jesus. Second thing I want you to see. That's the first thing. And you see it because they ask, where is he? They've traveled a long ways. The second thing I want you to see is this. Their pursuit was affirmed in a star, but brought to them joy. Their pursuit was so affirmed by this star. I want you to imagine for a second, they got to see something that was uniquely brilliant, which stood out amongst everything that they had encountered. And it's interesting because we live in a time right now where people can post pictures and you see these different Christmas trees, you see these different things, and you know, the postings you can see, well, someone's here or there, they're everywhere, and yet the brilliance of some of those photos, you realize that it captures the essence of the beauty of wherever they are. Now I want you to imagine this for a second. You're walking as far as you can go. You are blessed. You're affluent. You have something. You have enough to be able to bring frankincense, gold, and myrrh. You are not the poor boy on the corner. You are the person who has been blessed with enough affluence to be able to impact. But what you carry with you, what's this? You don't carry it with you to keep it. And what I want you to think about today is this, as it relates to our lives. You want joy? Give your life away. You want joy? Express yourself in a way that changes someone else's heart. You want joy? Surrender yourself to something bigger than yourself. You want joy? Encounter Him in new and amazing and living ways. Listen, when His joy rests on you, something begins to happen. And I'm going to tell you, when the Bible says that they found themselves In verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Double emphasis. They rejoiced with joy. What happened to them? They encountered something that changed the way that they would look at their life forever. And I'm going to tell you what I want you to keep in mind. When he becomes your story, it changes you forever. That's what Jesus can do. We just have to let him be the star that we follow. Because when we follow that star, something begins to happen. So here's the question as it relates to this whole idea of what joy comes to us. What kind of affirmation do you need to experience joy? In other words, do you need somebody to come out and say, oh, good job? You need somebody to say, hey, you're the best? You need somebody to affirm you in a certain way? Listen, think about it for a second. People hunger for someone to say, you're okay, you did well, you're doing the best. And the truth is that hunger, if you're not careful, you wait for it and you wait for it and you wait for it. And what happens? It doesn't often come because, watch this carefully, if you don't have joy, you can't give joy. If you don't have Jesus, you can't give affirmation the way he only can do. And so you can imagine that for the Magi, they come in, they encounter what they have looked for, and exceedingly, they worship what God's done for them. Today, as you think about your own life, what happens if you worship him the same way? What if the affirmation you need is not from somebody, but from God's word that says to you, find the joy you need, the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory? That's the kind of joy that changes your life forever. So as you think about that, the first thing you think about, distance didn't get in the way. The second thing you realize is here they are, and they're in this place where their pursuit was finally fulfilled by encountering joy. And then the final thing that you see, the final thing I want to point out to you is a third area, because it has to do with how they lived out this encounter. Because if you'll notice, verse 11, and after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want you to get this in mind, because this is so key to your entire Christmas. Authentic encounters cannot be replicated by religion. In other words, you can't just have an experience that's religious and anticipate that to give you an authentic encounter in life. Because if you are, you're going to be very sad. Because the truth is, what authentic encounters are all about are moments in which God speaks to us and we hear him with such clarity. It's the same thing that happened to me this week as I was preparing and thinking about December 9th and thinking about what God was going to do through the service that day and anticipating him speaking in my heart. And as I heard him speaking in my heart, it became such evident awareness that, you know what? I hear him speaking. It's authentic. Because what happens is when you hear God speak, it's different than the other voice. It's the still small voice that speaks to your heart, says to you, hey, don't go that way. Go this way. Be wise enough to make this choice. Don't make that choice. Listen to what I have to say to you. Don't let this encounter get in the way of your best life experience you could have. And so what happens is, you and I, as we think about that, we long for these authentic encounters, these moments that are priceless and profound and powerful. Why? Because they take us places that no one else can. And it's interesting because oftentimes I'll find myself encountering someone and here at church, and it's interesting because you can tell the authenticity of their heart. What they live for is something that money could have never bought, because they wanted to experience God in a way only he could. And so as you think about your own authentic encounter, ask yourself this question. How many did you have in 2018? How many moments did you have where you just heard God speak and you knew it? How many encounters did you have where you go, you know what? I knew exactly what he wanted to do to me through me because he was speaking to me. Watch it. If you want to understand what he wants to do through you, you have to let him speak to you. Because if you don't let him speak to you, then what's going to happen? You're going to get busy and hustle and bustle and get in the way of your best for life. So here's the question as you think about that. Because what the Bible says is they fell down, they worshiped. You know what? They humbled themselves. And here's the question. What does it take to humble you? Does it take some great adversity? Does it take some overwhelming circumstance? Maybe it only takes a simple little table where you hold a piece of bread, or you hold a cup, and you start thinking about your own authentic encounters, and you start asking yourself, am I humble enough to know and understand what it is that has been placed before me? Because here's what you discover. What I anticipate, he'll affirm in my heart. And when he affirms it in my heart, I begin to experience him in most profound and beautiful ways. And so as we come to this table, I want you to think about three things, and we're going to have communion. The first thing is this. Worship him with a pure heart. As you think about your own experience in this moment, if you've given your heart to him, worship him with a pure heart. The second thing is this. Decide to live, enjoy this entire Christmas season. I've watched in our home as my wife prepares for Christmas. And just a few days ago was the 25th anniversary of her mother's passing into eternity, where Christmas has to be much more profound than here. And we were talking about her in recent days, and Sandy was sharing about how much her mother loved Christmas. And I have a feeling that lots of people in here had moms who loved Christmas. And it's interesting, by the way, it wasn't so much the decoration that were in the room. It was the decoration of her heart that made a difference. And so today, as you think about decorating your heart, choose to encounter him in authenticity and watch him work in amazing and powerful ways. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for what you do. You are the most amazing and profound and powerful answer to everything we'll ever face in life. As I think about the songs we sang today, all of them bring us back to what your joys are about, what your affirmation is all about. And Lord, I just pray that in this room there'd be someone here who anticipates you doing something in their heart and life, that they would see you as the answer to what it is they're facing. Lord, as we think about that, we surrender these moments, asking you to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.